by calling 559-561-4860. That's 559-561-4860. And let them know how much you're being blessed. Thank you.
Imagine that this is your daughter.
What do you want?
Now you get to decide how this scene ends. Or...
Stop, Earl!
Some misinformed people want to take away your daughter's choice between rape and self-defense. We're pro-choice on self-defense. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. JPFO.org.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite to Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Turner, speaking to you on the 23rd of March, 2005. The mess continues, as I keep saying over and over again, and the deception is also in place on a daily basis by the major press that controls what we know and believe and think these days. And Dennis has done a great job. New partner webmaster to the website. Most appreciative on my behalf of his efforts and the coordinating and expanding of our direction. Thanks to him. And really, today I got a phone call from someone, one of my listeners, thinking that FTAA passed, but that is apparently not the situation. According to the Associated Press, Mr. Bush, Mr. President Bush, and the leaders of Mexico and Canada promised new cooperation Wednesday. Yes, yet dust-ups over defense, immigration, and trade burrs under the saddle. In local slang, they continue to strain North American relations. To demonstrate unity, Bush and Vicente Fox from Mexico and Prime Minister Paul Martin appeared together at Baylor University to announce their neighborhood pact. The the Neighborhood Pact, I see. Well, needless to say, this is a conglomeration of a UN system over here in America. FTAA will pass very, very soon, and that's a sad commentary to have. There's no stopping it. It's already in place. It's just the papers haven't been signed. And that's the UN plan. That is the problem that we live with today. This situation, this meeting, is designed to make trade more efficient and borders more secure without obstructing business and traffic. I see. How's that going to be? Quote, we've got a lot of trade with each other. Bush said, we intend to keep it that way. We've got a lot of crossings of the border. I intend to make our borders more secure and facilitate legal traffic, end quote. Well, with the thousands and thousands of dollars that's going to cost, with the thousands and thousands of dollars that the Middle East mess cost, and once again, migration is legal under the UN system. Our State Department migrates people from all over the globe to this country. You can look at the State Department structure and see the people they bring in each month from all over the world. And I'm sure there's a process that they have to go through to come to this country. A very intensive process, more than likely. This article continues from the Associated Press, dated today, the 23rd of March. U.S. relations with Mexico and Canada chilled early in Bush's first term when neither nation backed his decision to invade Iraq. I see. Well, I don't see why we should have gone to Iraq to begin with, do you? Most of us think the same way. 9/11, another creation, another Pearl Harbor, to pull off the Afghanistan invasion. And it was planned for long in advance, just like Homeland Security was planned for long in advance. That information is on the website, AmericanExpose.com, and StopAgenda21.com. Bilateral disputes festered as the United States focused on events in the Middle East and elsewhere. And certainly, that's the way it plays. That's the way it plays out. Sore spots remain, this article continues. Mexico still wants to see U.S. immigration changes. The Bush administration suspects al-Qaeda agents may be crossing into the United States from the south. And isn't that what we all thought all along anyway? You see how the opportunity to make this direction fester all these months? And is it KGB that's here to act like al-Qaeda or former KGB, which is the FSB now? I believe the FSB is the Federal Security Bureau from Russia, which is the former KGB. And this is what you always have to wonder when this next terrorist event happens in this country. Who will be behind this quote-unquote al-Qaeda, these al-Qaeda agents? Who's behind al-Qaeda to begin with? Where did they come from? And where does the Mujahideen fit into this scenario, as they were the freedom fighters that were fighting against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan? And apparently the Mujahideen today is part of this, against our country. And since our country built the roads to invade Afghanistan with the Soviet Union, when the Soviet Union came in 1979, well, where does our Army Corps of Engineers fit into all this today? That is the problem, listeners. A major problem. This article continues, some American farmers and businesses object to Mexico's 20% tax on soft drinks containing high fructose corn syrup. Is that all they're concerned about? In Canada, which snubbed a U.S. offer to be part of a missile defense shield, probably will hang up the long-running dispute over American tariffs on easy-to-sew Canadian lumber, or easy-to-saw, excuse me. It's a very long, intensive article, and it's intense to a certain degree that we don't need to take time with it tonight. There is a situation, certainly, that the press has been covering very closely recently, and that's the Terry Schiavo case, and I'm sure you're hearing it on all the networks and all the programs, and I think that's very, very important to keep in mind that this is happening, and certainly I'm sorry that it is. There's no mention of it in the paper today that I can see. And I see here that UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said Tuesday that Syria's president has agreed to present a firm timetable in early April for a full withdrawal of his country's troops and intelligence agents from Lebanon. And how is that ever going to happen? How are we ever going to know that was ever happening to begin with? That is certainly a situation that we can never get to the bottom of. And we see here, Camilla Parker Bowles does not want the title of queen after Prince Charles becomes king. According to Prince Charles' office, Charles and his bride-to-be sensitive to strong public opinion against her ever being queen, had said she would take the title of Princess Consort if he becomes king. They're being married in a civil ceremony April 8th. Won't that be nice? Israel hands over West Bank town. Dozens of Palestinian fugitives reunited with their families, ending years on the run after Israeli troops returned this West Bank town to Palestinian control and promised to stop chasing the men. Boy, wouldn't that be a marked change? Absolutely amazing. Here we see Russian President Vladimir Putin will visit Israel at the end of April, the first visit ever by a Russian leader to the Jewish state. Israeli-Russian relations have improved greatly in the past 15 years since the fall of the Soviet Union, and certainly they should, because we're supposed to merge with them. Isn't that amazing? We are supposed to merge with them. In other words, Russia. But if Israel's so tied to this country, the three of us will have to merge. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, who is of Russian descent, has visited Moscow three times since taking office in 2001. Sharon, who learned Russian from his parents, amazing. Sharon has learned Russian from his parents, supposedly, has spoken with Putin on the phone. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Very, very non-eventful newspaper today. Except on page 8, authorities seek reasons for rampage. Authorities were trying to determine Tuesday what caused a teenager to go on a deadly rampage. Don't see any move for gun control yet. It says here in the Oklahoman, state officials reiterated the need for students to report suspicious activity on their campuses after the Minnesota school shooting Monday. Oklahoma schools spend millions of dollars on security each year, but state school superintendent Sandy Garrett encourages students to do their part by using an anonymous toll-free hotline to report unusual behavior. There you have it. There's where the crux of the situation comes into place. On the books, we are to be disarmed. Public law 101-216 of 1989 reiterates all the dictates from State Department Publication 7277 from 1961. I don't know how much it's been advanced by other laws in the past. But I keep seeing the news. I keep seeing what's going on. I keep seeing what's happening with the manipulations of the agenda. And still, it's a big secret. Except Nancy Levant. She has it all together. She has put the pieces of the puzzle together just as well as I have about what the future holds for us. And we covered something, and I think Darren covered this on his broadcast. but I think you need to hear it from me. UN Hyde's agenda with Conservation Army, which I've been talking about over and over again in the past. And she says Conservancy and wild land groups are not friends of nature. She says, in fact, some have recently signed deals with the Army Corps of Engineers, who together are now signing the praises of controlled flooding. I suggest you be careful about living in or buying property downstream of dams. And that's no joke, she says. And the primary functions of conservancy and wild land groups are to forcibly take lands that belong to the American people, both public and private lands. And see, this is the point. None of this is in the paper. None of this public-private partnership is ever talked about. But Nancy Levant goes on to state that that is their sole function, for they are the implementation army of Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is an important document that American people must quickly understand in detail before it becomes unavailable. And she says you can read it on the United Nations website, Agenda 21. Well, you can read it on my website. StopAgenda21.com is what you should call my website now. Agenda 21 is the actual plan to implement the UN's goal of becoming the governing power of the world. That means that all countries will operate as one government and one set of rules, one language, one interfaith belief, which means no specific God and or the elimination of faith. And also a call to reduce the human population by approximately 40%. This plan is currently being implemented globally using a public media cover-up called conservation. Keep in mind, listeners, we have depleted uranium weapons, evidently. We've been using depleted uranium weaponry for years. Evidently, since the first Gulf War, it's been reported that depleted uranium has been used in weapons, meaning everyone's getting sick that gets involved in these conflicts. In other words, our people, our soldiers, are the fodder as well. And this is a great direction to reduce the population also. And I'm interjecting all this as I go on with Nancy Levant's dissertation about the Conservation Army. But it's coming from all angles and accesses, all cubbyholes, all directions. All this is being engineered at us and on us. And this is the problem. And certainly the Terry Schiavo situation is extremely tragic. And I'm surprised it's received so much press. But maybe this is an in-your-face scenario. And the information that Dennis put on my website, I wasn't able to open. But I wanted to make sure I covered this information by Nancy Levant tonight, because it's most imperative that you, as a listener, being that our listenership is so small, get active in educating others. Charles has got the funding to do the bumper stickers. Those will be happening soon, and you'll be able to give him a small donation and get some bumper stickers. StopAgenda21.com. So this plan is currently being implemented globally using a public and media cover-up called conservation, she says. A21 calls for a new conservation-based belief system, which the entire world must adhere to, calls for the total transformation of human behaviors, beliefs, and lifestyles. How are they going to do that, listeners? Through the food, bottom line. Al Gore, who was instrumental in inviting this beast into our country, said that Agenda 21 would create, quote, a wrenching transformation of society, end quote. The transformation of society in the United States is called sustainable development. And Nancy says you will see and read sustainable this and sustainable that. You will see words like bio, eco, green, smart growth, local 21, visioning corridors, buffer zones, resting, forests and ecosystems, NGOs, public-private partnerships, stakeholders, and on and on and on. As we go through these traumatic times, she recommends typing in your town's name with a comma, and then type the word sustainable development and see what comes up. She states that as we speak, our country and every city and village across the nation is witnessing private organizations and businesses taking over water companies. Now, why do you think that is, listeners? Executive Order 12803, I believe it is. Infrastructure privatization, 12803. Infrastructure privatization, which allows any entity that has the funding to buy up parts of this country, including water, including waste treatment plants, and I don't have that executive order handy right now, but take my word for it, executive order 12803, infrastructure privatization, is the fact that we are witnessing private organizations and businesses taking over water companies. And they determine usage limits and requirements as our government hands over natural resources over these NGO groups. Infrastructure privatization executive order was put in place in 1992, right around the time when George Herbert Walker Bush called in the National Guard for the riots in Los Angeles, the Rodney King riots, right at the same time. That executive order was passed right when the executive order for the National Guard to come into Los Angeles. Same time. Same station. So these water companies and these businesses buy up the water companies. They determine usage limits and requirements as our government hands our natural resources over to these NGO groups, many of them having received NGO status from the United Nations and their partners. Government-controlled water entitled us to information about our water, but not anymore. Governments all over the world are shifting to government to public-private partnership. This is the very definition of what she calls fascism. United Nations is nearing full power. This is my point for being the way I am, having dropped what I did, having come back, because the United Nations is nearing full power. It is missing a rapid deployment force. In 2000, Bill Clinton called for 6,000 American soldiers to be permanently assigned to a United Nations rapid deployment army. They want an initial army of 42,000. And keep in mind, listeners, the Osprey was supposed to be part of that army. The Osprey was an aircraft that would take off like a helicopter and fly like a turboprop aircraft. In other words, the props would go like a helicopter to land, and then they'd move forward to go forward. The Osprey has had many problems in its development, and maybe that's God's intervention at this point, because I certainly believe in God's intervention in things, and certainly I believe in God's intervention into my life to bring me to where I am now, doing what I'm doing. So they initially want a 42,000 rapid deployment force from this country. And Nancy says she doesn't know how large their army is today. She says the United Nations is also laying plans for global taxation. One example is the Law of the Sea Treaty, if passed, which Condoleezza Rice recently stated would pass, and I said the same thing. The United Nations will have a nonstop funding base by taxing all use, commercial and private, of the oceans. This is how militaries and weapons capabilities grow, and she believes this is also a security issue for the United States. She goes on to state that the UN is searching for a way to provide lip service to international representation by claiming to want a People's Millennium Assembly, and this is probably very simple to what they have in communist China, a supposed method by which the people of the world may have a voice or a day in court. The World Court is already in place. Agenda 21, as a written plan for global implementation, is currently attempting to become law, international law, and international law trumps national law, according to Nancy. As a writer, Nancy can tell you that she has never held such a profound sense of responsibility. How does she get her countrymen to believe that our way of life, our government, our values, and everything we are and know to be is coming to an end? How does she get them to believe that the conservation manipulations created by the United Nations are the lies and methods used to deliver global governance behind our backs? And that's a good question. She does a tremendous job in stating where things are today and where it's going to go in the future. And she says a massive bureaucratic web masterminded for stealing everything from value on the planet and a pre-planned elimination of human interference, which includes a reduction of human life by nearly half. This is the true definition of what she calls Agenda 21. This is why I've been harping on this ever since it dawned on me that, yes, this is what it's got to be. Again, she says the role of the UN is to reduce the human population by approximately 40% and to monitor and control the natural resources, which are the assets of the world, meaning forests and timber, fresh and salt water, all minerals, animal and plant and crop life. We, the humans, being problematic, need to be eliminated by half, as it has been declared. So in Nancy's opinion, when the death of nearly half the human population is considered good politics and conservation, that's way past time for our government to talk to us about global governance, the conservation of American people, the taking of American lands and water. Oh, and one more thing she says, road removal, which we've talked about before. Many organizations have dedicated themselves to removing roads that lead to the mountains, the fresh waters, the beaches, the forests, etc. She states that there's one group that you really need to check into, Wildland CPR, Center for Preserving Roads. Wildland CPR, Center for Preserving Roads. Equally and importantly, the Road Removal Implementation Project called Road-RIP. These organizations are connected to the Wildlands Project. They are intent upon removing roads to eliminate our ability to get to the lands they are stealing. We paid for those roads, and mobility is power. Soon only conservationists, NGOs, and business and land owners will be driving. As Nancy has said before, entrapment in human settlements makes Agenda 21 looking more and more like keepers of passive human cages. Pandemics, enforced corralling causes human health problems. It also mimics really ugly history. And at newswithviews.com, Henry Lamb's latest, it just keeps getting worse at the UN. And remember, pass all your information to everyone you know. You can reach hundreds, even thousands of people and families in minutes and hours with emails that keep going. Ask people to read, keep learning, and building the momentum is what she recommends. And I can't believe she doesn't know who I am at this point with what I do. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. But I thought you should hear that tonight, listeners, because we don't have time to waste with all that's going on. We don't have any time to waste at all, listeners. Thank you.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. Thank you for listening. Who are you? That is the question, and the name of the program. To learn what the question means and what the answers are, tune in every Sunday afternoon, and Rice McLeod will give you the answers. Who are you? Check the schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com for broadcast times. We'll see you then.
March 2005, Wednesday evening. The deception continues on a daily basis. We've lived a life of deception our entire lives, as our parents and grandparents have done the same thing, which is a sad commentary to have at this late date in 2005. Where do you go from here? What is your biggest priority in trying to wake up your fellow man? It has to be Agenda 21 at this late date, 2005. This has to be. Once you prove that to yourself, then you have the directions to take. Schiavo case highlights poor care for dying in U.S. According to Reuters, the debate over keeping Terry Schiavo alive should highlight how badly death is handled in the United States. End-of-life activists said this week, huge advances in medical research and technology have made doctors focus on saving life at all costs, and when it is clearly hopeless, they said, and this can result in torment for the very patients they are trying to help. This is coming from Reuters, listeners, a controlled media publication, and take it for what it is. Quote, we will all die, and everyone that we love will all die, and yet our healthcare system is so poorly equipped to provide the kind of end-of-life care that they all want, end quote, said Betty Farrell, an expert in pain management and end-of-life care at California's City of Hope Hospital. While Schiavo's parents and some politicians and activists argue that she should be kept alive despite her severely brain-damaged condition, no doctor has argued that the 41-year-old woman is in pain, and experts agree that if she does die with her feeding tube now removed, it will be painless. And that's a ludicrous statement to make. Starving to death is a terrible way to die. And she's on her way to starving to death after 6 days. This is a precedent-setting situation that is going to make a difference in the future for us all. for those that do the research, that is their feeling as well. And I know you're probably getting tired of hearing this, and I know you feel sick about it. I feel just as sick about it as the next person that has a mind to think properly. I couldn't sleep last night thinking about it, the Terri Schiavo situation. I'm in pain over it. Because the parents know better than anyone else if she should be kept alive. The parents know. The mother knows. The mother wants her kept alive. The mother can take care of her. The mother wants to take care of her. The mother should have the opportunity to take care of her only child. And listeners, that's all I'm going to say about this right now. Because it's painful. And I know you're hearing a lot about it right now. And I know you have enough of a mind to think properly about what's being done here. There's plenty of information on Condoleezza Rice on the website, AmericanExplose.com. United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had an excellent visit to India, and the U.S. was looking forward to extend their relationship in a greater strategic partnership, according to the State Department. Ta. There's a big piece of propaganda for you. Implementation of the UN picture in place by Secretary Rice, who Adam Irelli, State Department Deputy Spokesman, has said, did have an excellent visit in India. And she and the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister were able to talk about all aspects of what is a strengthening relationship between the United States and India, and that's under the guise of the UN system, listeners. There's much to do. Rice's bowl around China. There's much on the website about Condoleezza Rice. Great direction, Dennis. Great direction. So nice to have someone connecting the dots properly. So she's been in Asia, she's been in China, she's been in North Korea. I don't think she's been in North Korea. Raising the stakes on a standoff on nuclear with nuclear North Korea, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice suggested Monday that Pyongyang government could face international sanctions. Well, North Korea fears our country. The people of North Korea have been brainwashed at an early age by Communist China, allied with North Korea. Communist China put North Korea in place. Communist China came to North Korea's rescue when MacArthur did the Incheon landing. And, you know, the point is, this is another situation where you just have to connect dots. You have to remember what happened in the past to bring us to the point we are now. That's the sad commentary to have regarding what's going on today. It's all being done at us and on us, on purpose. Sad commentary. In South Africa, listeners, there's much going on that we're not hearing about. And there's a report from the ABC News. A new report has detailed a culture of intimidation and repression in Zimbabwe and predicts a climate of fear will prevent a fair election next week. The report released by the New York-based Human Rights Watch, there's an NGO of the United Nations, is based on 135 interviews with politicians, non-government organizations, church leaders, and journalists in Zimbabwe. It describes incidents of intimidation on members of the opposition and its supporters and ordinary citizens. It says beatings and arrests have been meted out to activists and critics of the regime of President Robert Mugabe. The report notes that limited media space given to the opposition and says that Zimbabweans have not given or not been allowed to freely form political views and judgments. The government said it has put in place electoral reforms that will allow for a free and fair poll. According to What would this be? I'm not sure. McNamara and Wolfowitz, a war, and then the World Bank, having directed a divisive war himself, Robert McNamara can appreciate the predicament facing President Bush's nominee to head the World Bank, Paul Wolfowitz. That is on the website for you to see yourself, from the New York Times. Very important for you to check that out. Another top Treasury official announces resignation plans. John B. Taylor, the Treasury Department's Undersecretary for International Affairs, said Monday he would resign on April 22nd. I see. Here we see from the Press of Associations, the AP, Army likely won't meet recruiting goals. They expect to miss its recruiting goals this month and next, and is working on a revised sales pitch appealing to the patriotism of parents. I see. Whether that boosts enlistment numbers or not, Army Secretary Francis Harvey is not sure. He sees no chance of a military draft, and I say, give it time. There will be a military draft. There's no end to this Middle East mess. And according to this information from the AP, this is the first time the United States has been in a sustained period of combat since the all-volunteer force was introduced in 1973. And what did I call that? The mercenary military. That's what I've been calling it all these months and years that I've been on the air. In 1973, the mercenary military was created. The Air Force and Navy, which have relatively smaller roles in Iraq and Afghanistan, have no recruiting problems. But the Army and Marines are hard-pressed, and you know why. You don't know who your enemy is when you're over there in the Middle East. You don't know who the enemy is. That is the problem. So what has the Army done? They've upped the enlistment age to 39. Isn't that amazing? From AfricanCrisis.org, I think South Africa is a little farther in front of us in their deception and directions. According to the Daily Mail and Guardian, corruption is a scourge of development in Africa. Business Unity South Africa's Case Covadavia told the Second National Anti-Corruption Conference in Pretoria on Tuesday. It cost the continent in lost resources, investment, decision-making, and public sentiment. He holds hundreds of delegates from business, government, and civil society. Case Covadavia. Corruption was the top issue identified in 1999 by a selection of European Union and United States companies as a critical deterrent to investment. As such, it could have a tremendous impact on social development, Covadavia said. What is Africa? As Africa, we should be concerned about our continent and should be identifying problems on the continent so we can address them, in quote, he said. Recommending business to play a role in stamping out all pervasive corruption, Covadavia expressed his belief that the National Anti-Corruption Forum, which is hosting the summit, is the right forum for a coordinated attack. What is needed, however, is an honest and frank assessment of its strengths and weaknesses. President Thabo Mbeki earlier said South Africa was or has to remain vigilant against new manifestations of corruption. In his opening address to the conference, Mbeki added that South Africa's law enforcement capability and legislative framework have to keep ahead of such new developments. Addressing the conference at the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research's Conference Center, He said the country has to continue to strengthen capacity in anti-corruption programs and improve on the performance of criminal justice system machinery. Quote, all of us know that those intent on committing crime will continuously seek new ways and means to beat the law enforcement system, end quote, he told the government, business, and civil society representatives. And certainly, that's the same situation over here, only not as bad yet. That's the problem, people. According to Fox News, officials for the Army in the U.S., which is struggling to meet enlistment quotas following 2 years of war in Iraq, announced the policy on Friday. Policy on Friday is to raise the enlistment to 39 years of age. They said raising the age expands the recruiting pool and strengthens the readiness of reserve units. Another benefit, the Army said in a statement, is the maturity, motivation, loyalty, and patriotism older recruits will bring to the service. Physical requirements remain the same for all recruits regardless of age. Army spokeswoman Major Elizabeth Robbins told FoxNews.com that the older recruits will be required to pass the same, quote, standard batter of physical, mental, and cognitive tests, end quote, and would be expected to enter any environment expected of younger soldiers. And that's the picture in the future of the Army. I'll tell you, it's a sad commentary to have with our sons and daughters going overseas to die in the Middle East, to not know who your enemy is in the Middle East, to not see what's coming down in the future, to not realize what's happening in America, to want to go over there in the first place is the biggest problem. But you have to do something to stay in place. And certainly most people will not even have a chance to go to college unless they go through the military first. According to Knight Ridder newspapers, the federal government kept it secret for 3 months that genetically modified corn seed was sold accidentally to some U.S. farms for 4 years and may have gotten into the American food supply. The accidental use of unapproved seed became public when the scientific journal Nature published a story about it Tuesday. The corn seed was probably safe. America's food supply and plant and animal stocks weren't harmed and remained safe to eat, according to officials of the seed company and the federal government. Well, I'm sure we can feel real confident about that. But the government's secrecy about the mistake, one affecting the public food supply, raises serious concerns, according to independent experts. Spokesman for the Department of Agriculture and the Environmental Protection Agency said there was no need to notify the public because the government had determined that BT-10 was safe. In addition, the USDA is investigating the whole incident involving the seed company, which faces up to $500,000 in fines, Agriculture Department spokesman Jim Rogers said. Quote, we're gathering evidence that we may need in front of a judge, Rogers said. If there was a health risk, you would have heard about it, and there would have been a recall, end quote. Syngenta, a Swiss-based company, distributed the unapproved genetically altered corn seed called BT-10. It mixed the BT-10 with a near-identical and approved corn seed called BT-11, company officials said Tuesday afternoon in a hastily called news conference. The BT-10 was modified with a gene from the pesticide-like bacterium Bacillus thuringiensis. Quote, most of the corn is used for industrial and animal use, end quote, Syngenta spokeswoman Sarah Hull said. Continue quoting, it may have gotten into the food supply, but regardless, the proteins are deemed safe and there's no food concern, end quote. Remaining seeds have been destroyed or isolated, Hall said. The unapproved seeds grew into 37,000 U.S. acres of corn over 4 years. That involves 100th of 1% of the corn acreage in America, Hull said. Interesting. Syngenta's U.S. headquarters is in Greensboro, North Carolina. It runs its seed operation out of Golden Valley, Minnesota. In mid-December, Syngenta told the EPA, the Agriculture Department, and the Food Drugs Administration about the mistake, according to Hull. EPA scientists reviewed 7 packets of information from Syngenta from January to March 10th. And, quote, as more data came in, the confidence of their scientific determination increased, end quote. EPA spokeswoman Cynthia Bergman said in an email, quote, had there been a human health concern, we would have alerted the public immediately, she said, and that's an end quote. Nice to know that they're on top of things. All genetically modified seeds are not allowed in Agenda 21. So keep that in mind. That's the way it's going to be in the future as well. You can't discount all things of Agenda 21. What is upsetting is that it's a secret and it's being implemented behind everyone's back because nobody wants to be relocated, as most of us will be someday. They're even developing urban cars for 2010. Urban cars, real small little cars for the urbanites, as we're all going to be urbanites someday in the land of ignoration, America. Consumer prices rose at the fastest pace in 4 months in February, and home sales fell. Fresh signs that inflation and higher interest rates may be exacting a toll on the U.S. economy. What else is new? Service to keep hurricane line out of New Orleans. The National Weather Service will stick with the familiar skinny black line on maps projecting the paths of hurricanes, despite concerns that the practice fails to convey the uncertainty in forecasting and can give the public a false sense of security, according to Science Department of the Associated Press. Scott Kaiser, a tropical cyclone program manager with the Weather Service, made the announcement Wednesday before the opening of the annual National Hurricane Conference. The agency that looked at 3 options, keeping the skinny line, using a series of large colored dots to represent the projected path, or using large circles that would encompass the projected path and the margin of error. And this is all on the website. Weather Service to keep hurricane line. I don't know what to tell you, listeners. The situation gets very, very murky as we move along. According to the Associated Press once again, or actually this is the AFP out of Paris, Paris City's authority began distributing thousands of specially designed glass carafes in a campaign to wean the public off bottled mineral water and back onto the tap, reacting to polls showing that 51% of the 2 million Parisians buy their drinking water in shops. The City Hall and publicly owned water company, Eau de Paris, argue that the piped alternative is cheaper, more ecologically sound, and just as healthy. Let them drink tap water. Paris fights back against the bottle, listeners. Hundreds joined a long queue at the Esplanade in front of the Hotel de Ville, where Parisians could present a coupon downloaded from the internet or cut from a local newspaper in return for a carafe marked with the Eau de Paris logo and an Eiffel Tower. Quote, people buy bottled water because of the marketing, and we released that if we were to win them back to the tap, we would have to do some marketing of our own. It's all about giving Paris water an image and explaining why it is good for you, end quote, said Frank Madaria of Eau de Paris. Well, I wonder if there's fluoride in that water, listeners. Some 30,000 carafes created by designer Pierre Cardin have been manufactured. A third were being handed to public to the public Tuesday, which is the World Water Day. That's right. Apparently, according to this information, next Tuesday is the World Water Day. And the rest will be distributed to cafes and restaurants. Quote, people say the taste is better when you buy it, but I think that is rubbish. And this is why I get a free carafe, end quote, says Jacques Brazel, who was waiting in line. Fitting neatly into the door of a fridge and bearing a push on tap, the carafes are to be filled with water from the tap and used instead of a shop-bought bottle. Around 700,000 metric meters of drinking water consumed every day in Paris comes from the rivers Seine and Marne and is treated in a three purification plant process. The rest comes from artesian wells around the capital. Interesting. Let them drink tap water. Paris fights back against the bottle. Well, I don't know what the water tastes like for you, but in California, the tap water was horrendous. The only good water to drink was Evian in the bottle, the glass bottle. Yeah, well, bottled water and plastic bottled water is not very good. And isn't that the problem? Isn't that the problem? The global economy moves ahead. And certainly Kia and Hyundai are shifting gears to overtake the population. What else is new, listeners? According to USA Today, and they say, don't look now, Detroit, as I covered information about the concessionaires in Detroit fighting over the concession opportunities for the Super Bowl 40. Well, Hyundai and Kia, owned by the same South African conglomerate, are investing heavily in the USA for people. The information is on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Time for the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour. And then again tomorrow night, back here at First Amendment Radio. God bless.